الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. إن الذين آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم سبيلا. بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما. صدق الله العظيم.
In our previous section we were talking about أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. And out of this long subject, it's extremely difficult to decide what to take and what to leave. And especially when you see the life of a person full of taqwa, piety, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the service to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and everything you look at, you feel that this is something good. This is something that we need to learn from him. This is something that we are missing and we need to be taught about. But of course, we cannot continue talking about just one person for, I don't want to say months because we already spent months, but we don't want to talk about just one person for a year. And we inshallah want to continue with this series of our ancestors to talk about other Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in and the great people of the Ummah, so that we can learn something from these people. And he who knows that because of loving these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us to be with them on the Day of Judgment. Will allow us to stand with them and behind them on the Day of Judgment. In the same place and in the same rows of the mu'mineen and the believers. As Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in the beginning of his book Riyadus Salihin, in the introduction of that book, have mentioned a beautiful poem that says, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. I love the virtuous people, although I am not one of them. I am not virtuous, but I love the virtuous people. Who knows, because of loving them, Allah will make me like them. This is the main goal, that we have love for these people. We know who our ancestors were, what type of life they live in this world, how did they spend their time, how did they serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the taqwa of Umar radiallahu anhu is concerned, it's something that's well known and is nothing that I can educate anyone more than what you might already know about it. But just few incidents that will tell us how God-fearing he was and how much he was concerned of being questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. In one of the occasions, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says that I bought a camel. I needed some money for myself. So I bought a camel that was very weak. I started feeding the camel. After feeding it for a long time and became very healthy, and I knew that I can sell it now for good money. And I was ready to sell it. Took it to the market. Umar radiallahu anhu knew that my camel is standing in the market to be sold. He called me and said, Abdullah, what's the story of the camel? I said, nothing. He says, tell me something about your camel. I heard that you have a camel. He says, yes, Dad. I bought a camel and I fed it because it was weak. So I thought I'll make some money out of it. So now it's very healthy. I can sell it. I make some money out of it. And make some money out of it. He says, go sell it, and whatever profit you make on it, come and put it in Baytul Mal. He says, why then? Everyone else is doing the business in the market. He says, I know that. But when you go to sell your camel, everyone will say, the son of Amirul Mu'mineen's camel. This is the camel of the son of Amirul Mu'mineen. And we know that Amirul Mu'mineen and his son, both of them need some money. So therefore, let's buy the camel for more than what it's worth for. So then, you are selling the camel, not because of the value of the camel, because of what your father is doing for the people, and I don't want to earn anything because I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't want to earn anything on the name of Imara because I'm serving people. A slight doubt. In one of the occasions, his wife, he had a lot of perfume to be distributed in this people of Medina Munawwara. So he was looking for someone who can weigh the perfume equally and make bottles out of it, small bottles. They were in big barrels. So his wife offered that I would do it for free. You will ask them, you will bring someone else, you might have to pay for it. He said, no, you won't do it. Why? I'm offering it for free. He says, I know that. I know it will be for free, but as you will be wearing the perfume, for sure you will be touching it also. And as you touch the perfume, there will be more fragrance in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen than any other house of the Medina Munawwara. And I don't accept more perfume coming into my home. This is the taqwa. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything with a slight doubt, they don't want to touch it. They want to stay away from everything that will put them in any doubt. Once, Umar radiallahu anhu was giving a khutbah. Before that khutbah, before that Jum'ah, he had some garment. We may call it dresses. But the garment he had was, and he distributed to the people of Medina Munawwara, it wasn't enough for any person to make a full dress out of it. Umar radiallahu anhu went up on the Jum'ah, on the member, on the day of Jum'ah, and he had a full dress made out of the same garment. He started his khutbah, Ya ayyuhal nas isma'u wa ati'u. O people, listen to me and obey me. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salman radiallahu anhu got up. He says, not now. Not anymore. Why? Because the share we got was not enough to make a full dress. I see you having a full dress of it. So he said, where is Abdullah, his son? Abdullah, can you please explain to him? Abdullah radiallahu anhu got up and he said, I gave my share to my father, so this is why he was able to make a full dress out of it. Salman radiallahu anhu sat down. He said, now we will obey you and now we'll listen to everything that you will have to say. Umar radiallahu anhu at the same time was very intelligent. And with these type of people who are trying to catch mistakes, of course, he would never mind it, but sometimes he dealt with them very nicely in one of the occasions. One of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in who was trying to mark each and every mistake of Umar, Zubayr bin al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, because they were close friends also. Before the Khilafah, they were friends. And Zubayr bin al-Awwam radiallahu anhu was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. Therefore, Umar radiallahu anhu used to respect him a lot. So because of that respect also, Zubayr radiallahu anhu knew that I can go and tell him anything. So he used to go and every time he would say, Umar, you're not doing this right. Umar, you're not doing this right. In one of the occasions, Umar radiallahu anhu had some dresses. When he started seeing, though, looking at those dresses, one of them was damaged. Umar radiallahu anhu folded up in a way that you don't see the part that's damaged and put it under his pillow in a way, his pillow in a way that you won't see the full dress, but you will see part of it. Partially you will see the dress and people will think he's hiding something there. Now he invited the people and he started giving them the dresses. When Zubayr radiallahu anhu came, Umar radiallahu anhu knew that if he would see that, he is going to object it. So he intentionally started looking towards that direction as if he's trying to hide it. So of course, he intentionally trying to bring his attention to that dress that's hiding it behind underneath the pillow. So Zubayr radiallahu anhu looked at it. He says, no, I want that one there. He says, I don't think you will like it. Just leave that for me. He says, no, I want that one. If you want it, then I'll tell you this much. I won't take it back. He says, yeah, that's fine. I want that one there. And after taking a promise from him that he's not going to give it back, Umar radiallahu anhu took it out and threw it at him. When he opened it, it was damaged. He says, no, I don't want this one. He says, you can't return it anymore. You promised. So sometimes he used to deal with his friends in this way also. But as I mentioned, very God-fearing person. A person who's always thinking how he's going to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Umar radiallahu anhu always used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan bi baladi rasulik. Ya Allah, give me this blessing of being murdered, but in the town of your Prophet, not anywhere else. And it was a dua that everyone, whoever would hear that dua, will think is impossible. You're looking for shahada, you have to go out. But in Medina Munawwara, and then shahada also, you want to die in Medina, that's different. But you need shahada in Medina Munawwara, you cannot get it. And many times people asked him, Umar, you made this dua a lot. How do you think you will get it? Umar radiallahu anhu would reply that I also know that it's not possible for me just for me to get it, but I know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give it to me, then He would give it. And He knows how to do it. And his dua was accepted. Once a person came to Umar radiallahu anhu, whose name was Abu Lu'lu'ah al-Majusi. Abu Lu'lu'ah came and complained to Umar radiallahu anhu that my master makes me do a lot of work. So he asked him, how much work do you do? How much does he pay you for it? After all of that, after hearing the whole story, Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, you are not doing more than what you're supposed to do. So he got upset and he left. Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to please him somehow. He did not want the man to be upset. So as one of these days, Abu Lu'lu'ah was passing by, and he was not a Muslim, by the way. He was from Persia, who used to worship fire. So he said to Abu Lu'lu'ah, I heard that you make nice mills for grinding the, for making the flowers. You make nice mills. He says, yes, Umar, I'll make one for you that the whole world will talk about it. Umar radiallahu anhu said to the people sitting around him that he's threatening me. And Umar radiallahu anhu knew what he's trying to, what he's talking about. And he was the same person who after some days had a sharp knife, double-edged knife, and he went and he hid in one of the corners of the Haram. Of course, Umar radiallahu anhu used to stand in the same musalla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave the salah. And normally Salatul Fajr was very long. He used to recite long surahs like Surah Yusuf, that each rak'ah will take about 25 minutes, half an hour if you try to see Surah Yusuf and reciting it easy and properly as those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in would recite the surahs. So he used to stand the Salatul Fajr at the early time, beginning time, and normally it will finish, the Salah will finish almost to close to the sunrise. Long Salah. As Umar radiallahu anhu started the Salah and it was too dark, he couldn't see who's around there, and that person was hiding somewhere around the mihrab. He came out and he hit Umar radiallahu anhu three times with that knife by which he cut his whole stomach. Umar radiallahu anhu, as he was falling down, even at that time, subhanallah, he did not miss the order of the Sharia. He's falling down. He pulls Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu and puts him up on the musalla. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, seeing the situation, he performed two short surahs, finished the salah quickly. Meanwhile, as Abu Lu'lu'a was trying to run away, he had his plan to run back to his home country. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in saw that the person is trying to run away and he's trying to escape, so they went after him. As they tried to capture him, 11 more people were fed by his knife. And they were injured badly, 7 of them died. But finally, one of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, who knew that this person, we cannot cage the person in this way, and at the same time, the love for Umar radiallahu anhu was so much that they did not want that person to escape after doing this to Amir al-Mu'mineen. So one of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, as we went after him, he got his sheath. He was wearing a sheath, long one, and he tied him up with his sheath, Abu Lu'lu'a, as he knew that now there is no way he can escape. So he committed suicide and he killed himself also. People carried Umar radiallahu anhu to his home. When he got his senses, became conscious, he asked, "Asallan nas?" Did everyone perform the salah? They said, "Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen." He said, "But I did not perform my salah." People said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, please, after a while, you can perform it a little later." He said, "No. A person who does not perform salah on time, he has no right to claim to be a believer. I don't want to miss the salah from its proper time. The first thing I want to do, let me do my salah." And they helped him making the performing wudu. Still he's laying down and he performed the salah while laying down. Then he asked Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, "Abdullah, who killed me? Who tried to kill me?" Abdullah told him it was Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Alhamdulillah." He said, "My only fear was that he might be a person who was a believer, who is a mu'min. And on the Day of Judgment, I will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having a claim against a believer. I did not want to do that. I did not want any person who have performed a single sajda for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go into the hellfire because of me." So alhamdulillah, he was not a Muslim. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah, his son, Abdullah bin Umar, "Oh Abdullah, go to Aisha radiallahu anha and tell her, 'Aisha, please, Umar is seeking a permission to be buried with his companions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He would like to be buried with them. Would you please allow him to be buried there? That's her house. And O Abdullah, make sure that you do not say the word Amirul Mu'mineen. Don't tell her that Amirul Mu'mineen is asking the permission. Tell her Umar is asking the permission. I don't want her to be forced to give this permit because of I'm Amirul Mu'mineen. And anyway, now everyone knows that these are my last moments of my life. I will be departing this world any time, so don't call me Amirul Mu'mineen anymore. He went there. Aisha radiallahu anha was sitting and crying because of what had happened to Umar radiallahu anhu. And she said to Abdullah, tell Umar, I always liked this place for myself. And I was keeping it for myself, but I would give Umar preference over myself. Umar radiallahu anhu said to Abdullah, oh Abdullah, after my death, don't just go and bury me there. Because still I'm alive. And she's hurt. She may not be thinking right at this time. After my death, go and knock at the door again. And say, Umar is seeking the permission to be buried in there. If she would allow you at that time, then bury me there. Otherwise, take me back to Jannatul Baqiyah. And they went and they knocked the door after he passed away. And of course, Aisha radiallahu anha allowed him to be buried over there. And this is one of the virtues that we see for these two Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, that we don't find it for anyone else. Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, every person is buried where his dust was taken from. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are people whose dust of their body was taken from a plant that is far away from their homeland. And at the time of their death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him think that he has some work to do over there, he has some need that can be fulfilled only over there. He would go to that place, really he's not going to do his work, he's going to look for his death. He's going to the place where he's supposed to die and bury. And this shows the greatness of these two Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'een, that their death was taken from the same place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body was made from. What can be a greater virtue than this? Umar radiallahu anhu, after he passed away, when Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een went back to their homes, they say, That was the first time we felt that it's almost like a day of judgment. It was the most difficult day we had seen in our lives. They say, of course, it was very difficult for us the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took over, we were still able to control ourselves, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was strong enough to keep us together. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, it was difficult for us, but Umar radiallahu anhu was there, and we knew that Umar radiallahu anhu is a man who will be able to take the place of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But after Umar radiallahu anhu, we knew that that period is over. And this is why it was the most difficult day for us we had seen in Medina Munawwara. This is what Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in say about today. During his life, Umar radiallahu anhu, once he said to Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, and Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi who's known to be Sahibu Sirri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who used to keep the secrets for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him a lot of secrets that other people didn't know about. after his death, or in, before his death, once Umar radiallahu anhu said to Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, Huzaifa, there are a lot of ahadith that you heard, that you have heard about the secrets from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and about different fitnas. Can you tell us something about the fitnas that will be coming? So he said, Umar, don't worry about those fitnas. He says, why? He says, because there is a door that's closed and is not allowing the fitnas to come. And no fitna will come as long as that door is closed, so you don't have to worry about it. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked, is that door is going to be opened or broken? Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, as far as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed me, that door will be broken. Other people did not figure out what they're talking about, and Umar radiallahu anhu knew what Huzaifa is saying. That door was Umar radiallahu anhu that was closed. As long as he was there, the fitnas were not allowed to come. And that door was broken, which means he will be shaheed. He will not die, just die a natural death. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, it says in the hadith, for almost 3 days, no one was able to eat anything until Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the situation of the people of Medina Munawwara, so he gathered the people and he said, people, all Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'd like to invite all of you for a meal. And at that invitation, of course, they went and they all had in mind that we don't feel like eating, we don't want to eat, but we will just go in a second. Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, addressing Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, said that we ate even after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ate after the death of Umar Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we cannot stop eating now. Let's start eating and let's not put ourselves into that difficult situation because we have a lot of other works to take care of outside of Medina Munawwara. We have been given responsibility of continuing this message of Islam to the world. Let's not just sit back with it. And that was the time when people started coming back to their normal situation. And that was the first time that he fed them by force. He made them just start eating because they would not even feel like eating before that. Before his death, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Suhaib, you will be taking over the Khilafah for 3 days. Keep on performing the Salah for 3 days, leading the Salah for 3 days. After, within 3 days, he assigned 6 Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, the remaining of Ashratul Mubashara. Out of Ashratul Mubashara, the 10 who got the good news of Jannah in this world, 4 of them had passed away. So the rest of the remaining of the 4, the 6 people, Umar radiallahu anhu said, you 6 of you have to decide who the Khalifa would be after me, and it will be one of you people. And he said, you have 3 days to decide. And after 3 days, whoever is assigned as a Khalifa, he will take over. And for these 3 days, Suhaib radiallahu anhu will be taking over. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu, within those 3 days, of course, they did the janazah of Umar radiallahu anhu. And Suhaib radiallahu anhu led Salatul Janazah for Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Aisha radiallahu anhu saying, since Umar radiallahu anhu was buried over there, before that, I used to just enter into that place, into that section of the house, without hijab, because it was my husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Since Umar radiallahu anhu was buried, I would never enter into that section without a hijab. Although I knew Umar radiallahu anhu is under the ground, but I had so much respect of Umar radiallahu anhu that I did not even want to enter into that, go close to his grave without hijab. And therefore, when people saw that, and the difficulties she's going through because of always having to put hijab on within her own home, so they made a wall over there that will cover that those graves up for her, and they made a door for her in order she wants to get in there. And since that day, it becomes a little easier for her that she did not have to put hijab in her own home.
respect. Haya.
This is something that we learn from these Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in say, since Umar radiallahu anhu died and he passed away, since that day we saw the doors of the fitnas starting opening to the Ummah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was a type of person that as long as he was there, everyone knew that they cannot start any fitna in Islam. Once Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said to some people that, see Umar, he tried to put me away. He was just mentioning it. And they were close also. So someone said to Khalid radiallahu anhu, when you say something of this kind, that might start a fitna, that your people who feel for you, they will think that, look, Umar radiallahu anhu did something wrong to Khalid, and Khalid radiallahu anhu was working so hard for the Islam and for the Ummah, and here Umar radiallahu anhu would just put him away. Khalid radiallahu anhu said, I'm saying this because I know as long as Umar is alive, no fitna will come, because I have heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the love for these great people of the Ummah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.